Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
There was a tweet that got some attention around the world of college football this week, and I thought it might be appropriate for us to speak about for a minute or two, but not necessarily within the context that you might think we'd mention it. And I'm always kind of hesitant to bring some of this kind of stuff up because every time the name Justin Fields gets mentioned, there's this question among many Georgia fans of, oh, why are you talking about Justin Fields? As I've said before, you know, we're not going to find a reason every day to speak about Fields, the one-time Georgia quarterback, but also given the fact that Georgia's going to be a top-five team, Fields' new team, Ohio State's going to be a top-five team, it would also be unreasonable to presume that you can pretend that Justin Fields doesn't exist. There's no reason for us to try to, you know, pretend that Fields is not a real player and potentially a player that Georgia could run into in the college football playoff and potentially a player that could be compared alongside some of the Georgia players this season. We're not going to pretend that Fields doesn't exist. So with that in mind, the tweet that got some attention this week came from the ESPN college football account looking at the Westgate, which is the Las Vegas Superbook. It's probably, I would say, among the leading sports books out in Las Vegas, and they have, I don't know if it's a first release for Westgate or if it's a re-release of Heisman odds. I'm not sure. Obviously, when they release their odds, they're going to have a lot of candidates for the Heisman Trophy, but the ESPN college football page only highlighted four of these in terms of the 2019 Heisman. And at the top of the list, you've got Tua Tagovailoa at about 2.5 to 1 to win this year's award. At one point in time, it seemed like he was the odds-on favorite to win this past year's award before being unseated by Kyler Murray. Just below that, you've got Clemson's Trevor Lawrence at 3 to 1. And then somewhat surprisingly, you've got a couple other names. Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts, the Alabama transfer, he is at 6 to 1. And Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, is also at 6 to 1. Now, I don't know that the presence of Fields here in those unbelievable, incredible odds is so much a statement about Fields as it is a statement about the Ohio State offense and Ryan Day, and also just the fact that out in Las Vegas, a lot of tourists are Ohio State fans, and they're going to want to bet on their own quarterback. There is no way the real odds on Fields winning the Heisman Trophy are 6 to 1, but that's what they are at the Las Vegas Superbook. Now, you might think that in this conversation, mentioning all these quarterbacks, Tagovailoa and Lawrence and Fields and Jalen Hurts, that it becomes a comparison between Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. For now, though, that's not really what I want to do. I have said before, I think I even said this on Before the Hedges yesterday, the recruiting show we do on Wednesday afternoons presented by Kroger with Jeff Centel, that I do believe that Jake Fromm can win this year's Heisman. I think he's going to throw it enough this year to put himself in contention for the award, and the Heisman's kind of always one of those best player on the best team scenarios, and that could be Fromm this season. But as many of you are aware, Jake Fromm is not the only Heisman candidate on the Georgia roster this season. And for some reason, looking at those four quarterbacks makes me think a little bit about Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. Now, what I'm about to say, I guess, should come with a caveat and a warning of maybe this is just Georgia guy making a Georgia opinion. Red and black colored glasses, whatever you want to call it, the host of Dog Nation Daily wearing red and black clothes virtually every single day. Maybe this is just coming from a place of deep within the bubble of Dog Nation. But I'm going to say it nonetheless. I'm going to stand behind it, I think, for the entire season. Given the makeup of the Georgia roster, if you gave me a choice, for some reason there's been this, you know, kind of idea of college football trades out there in the woodworks as of late. Connor Riley's written about this at DogNation.com. ESPN had their turn with this as well. Trades are obviously a pro sport phenomenon, but let's just say hypothetically they existed in the world of college sports. Let me make it very clear right now. I'm not trading DeAndre Swift for any of the guys on that ESPN list of most likely Heisman favorites. No disrespect to Justin Fields, I'm not trading DeAndre Swift for him. No disrespect to Jalen Hurts, he's a backup quarterback. I'm not trading my starting running back for Jalen Hurts. The same thing for Trevor Lawrence, as good as he is, Georgia's already got a quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa, as good as he is, Georgia's already got a quarterback, and he's played just fine. With all of that kind of understood, the running back that Georgia has that'll also show up as a bit longer odds, but still among the Heisman favorites, DeAndre Swift, I'm not trading him for any of those quarterbacks that were just mentioned. And if I feel that way about Swift, then maybe the chances are DeAndre Swift is a little bit more of a Heisman candidate than the ESPN Twitter feed would have you believe, or the Las Vegas Superbook, the Westgate Hotel and Casino would have you believe. Maybe DeAndre Swift is indeed supposed to be a part of this conversation this year. Now, our buddy Mike Griffith from DogNation.com actually at one point, I guess leading up to the Sugar Bowl, kind of caught up with DeAndre Swift on this subject. Next year, a bigger role, even more stardom, just given the success that he had in his sophomore season of 2018. It's not, you know, unrealistic to think that DeAndre Swift could be mentioned for the Heisman a lot. Mike asked DeAndre, hey, is that something you'd like to do? And, well, DeAndre Swift gave you the answer that you'd assume. Yeah, winning the Heisman's kind of a cool thing. Here's how DeAndre Swift said it.
I mean, always growing up, yeah, seeing people like Mark Ingram, one of the backs I watched when I was young. But next season, yeah, I would like to be on the Heisman list, most definitely. Who wouldn't be? You know what I'm saying? So just this offseason, I'm going to work. So this team, I think next year we can do whatever we want to do if we put our minds to it.
Yeah, listen, I love that line at the end. This team can do anything we want to do if we put our minds to it. So I'm not going to lie to you, Swift says. Growing up in Philadelphia, the idea of hoisting that Heisman Trophy and being just a few miles from my hometown of Philadelphia in New York City, the Downtown Athletic Club, to enjoy that award, that'd be kind of a cool thing. And obviously, we'd all feel the same way. If you get a chance to win the Heisman, you obviously want to do it. But Swift obviously sees the team tie-in on this, that you're not going to win the Heisman on a 7-5 team. But if George is the kind of team that dominates in 2019 the way that we think it could, then having a individual accolade, an individual award, contender for that, those are just kind of some of the things that go along with that. And DeAndre Swift says, I wouldn't mind being a part of that discussion. However, there are those out there who think that the days of guys like DeAndre Swift being able to win the Heisman Trophy, they are just over and gone. And this is now solely a quarterback's award. An example of that comes from Andy Staples from Sports Illustrated. Now, what Staples writes isn't specifically critical of DeAndre Swift. It's just generally observant of the fact that quarterbacks seem to dominate this award now. Here's what Staples recently said at Sports Illustrated. He says, college offenses have evolved to the point where quarterbacks can so dominate a game statistically that it makes it difficult for running backs. I mean, how could a back stand a chance against Kyler Murray, who averaged 11.6 yards every time he threw the ball last season, and 7.2 yards every time he ran the ball, even with sacks included? He had the ball in his hands every single play. Derrick Henry was the last non-quarterback to win the Heisman. That was in 2015. But had the award been given out after the college football playoff instead of before, I imagine many voters would have joined me in placing Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson first. That's Andy Staples from Sports Illustrated. Now, the larger point that Staples is trying to make is that he thinks that a lot of non-quarterbacks should be considered for the award, defensive players included. Now, I agree with Staples on that. I'm a big believer that you ought to be able to open this award up to all positions. And actually, the Heisman conversation each season would be made more interesting if defensive players and wide receivers and running backs were more in consideration for the award. But for the purposes of this particular conversation, I want to kind of push that aside for the moment, and we'll make that case, I guess, on some other show. As far as 2019, is it still possible for a running back to win this award? And in particular, could it be possible for DeAndre Swift to win the award? I've already given you my opinion of how important I think that Swift is, even in comparison to the top quarterbacks in college football. And I guess here's the thing that I would hope, that Georgia kind of stands out in college football in 2019 as a bit unique in the fact that while you've got Kyler Murray and these Big 12 style offenses, even Trevor Lawrence and Clemson is a little bit of a wide open, you know, let's play really fast and throw the football a lot, Georgia for the most part goes about its business in a slightly different way. And no one can deny college football playoff in 2017, back-to-back winners of the SEC East 2018, destroying most of the competition that it's faced over the last couple of years. No one can deny that Georgia's formula is working. Well, in 2019, that formula works to the tune of getting back to the college football playoff once again, using big offensive linemen, using really good running backs. Then maybe Georgia, maybe more so than other programs in college football, ought to have a running back worthy of consideration. I mean, after all, 2015 wasn't quite that long ago. Derrick Henry was able to do that for Alabama then, and maybe, just maybe, in 2019, DeAndre Swift might be able to sort of carry the mail for running backs once again, and Georgia fans in particular, to see another UGA guy back in New York as a Heisman finalist. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation YouTube, Facebook page, the Dog Nation Twitter feed. We're glad to have you there. Also fun to be with our friends in Athens on the radio, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, And we are available as a podcast, pretty much wherever podcasts can be found. The Roll Famous Apple Podcasts player, the Google Podcast player, I guess, for the Android devices, the world famous dognation.com. We're just glad to have you as a part of our program today. As I mentioned to our video audience before, we've got a fun guest coming up in just a minute. The great former Georgia tight end Randy McMichael, who had a long NFL career, and it's a good time to have Randy on the show, which we're going to have in just a couple of minutes. Randy knows about making that transition from college to the NFL. He had a terrific NFL career for a couple of different teams, and he's going to talk about a lot of the Georgia players trying to travel down that same path as the NFL Combine gets going in earnest today. So that'll be fun with Randy McMichael coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here today, presented by Online Trading Academy. And I want to go back to yesterday's edition of Before the Hedges for a moment, because we had a really fun conversation. This is a great idea for Jeff. As we kind of put the full lid and the final finishing touches on Georgia 2019 class, we had our Eddies yesterday, which were the award. Now, by the way, speaking of Eddie, we don't actually have him on the set right now. Maybe he's a little bit still a little tired and kind of exhausted from his big feature debut yesterday on the Eddies on Before the Hedges. But the Eddies, so to speak, were the awards honoring the top recruits and the top moments from Georgia's 2019 class. I don't know if we have the opportunity to recap this at all. Yeah, so here's what we had. We had Dominic Blaylock as best score, and that's obviously a play on the Oscars theme for the best score. But in the case of Dominic Blaylock, we meant top highlight, top touchdown. Brett Scyther was our top three-star recruit. Tyreek Stevenson was our top four-star recruit. Clay Webb got honored as most interesting. He took home the Eddie for that. N'Kobe Dean for best moment. I explained yesterday that I love the fact that Dean put on his old school shirt, the UGA shirt, when he made his commitment. I love the new school guys who have the old school flair. So I appreciate N'Kobe Dean on that. Dan Lanning got a recruiter of the year, and then we had a little bit of a debate. It was kind of fun to watch Georgia fans kind of square off on this. Before I mention this, first of all, if you're watching on video, how about the really cool bronzed version of Eddie on the screen as the official kind of award trophy that was given out? I love that. Great job by Connor Riley on that, and a lot of fun. And as I was saying before, what else was also fun is to listen to the debate from Georgia fans when we got down to our final two Eddies for 2019 signees. It was recruit of the year, and it was an Eddie that we called most likely to succeed. Now, ultimately, Nolan Smith took home our recruit of the year, and it's easy to understand why that was the case. But in terms of most likely to succeed, this is about a projection of who may be drafted the highest one day in the NFL and who may go on to have the best NFL career. And this is one of those that internally, me, Jeff, our entire staff, we debated a good bit. And when we presented this to our audience yesterday on the video show for Before the Hedges, there was also a good bit of debate as well. Ultimately, the opinion that I had ended up carrying the day, that if you're going to give me a chance to sort of select most likely to succeed among Georgia's 2019 signees right now, my guy on this is Trayvon Walker, more so than Nolan Smith, and maybe even more so than N'Kobe Dean and George Pickens, to a whole host of guys who all have, you know, the potential for great futures. But there's something about Trayvon Walker right now that I find pretty special. Some Georgia fans agreed with them. Others would have selected a different name. Jeff Sintel, our recruiting insider, weighed in particular on the subject of comparing Trayvon Walker to another name that could have been very well a recipient of this award, another five-star Georgia signee, Nolan Smith. Here is a very interesting take from Jeff on how these two guys compare right now. Take a listen to this.
I just think he's the best pound-for-pound athlete in the class because what he can do with that weight at 290. Of course, Nolan Smith can walk on water and do a great many things. It's all great. Nolan is one of the – he won the Spark Rating Championship this year at the Nike Open, and he is a extremely twitchy dude. But then Nolan's only about 230. And look what Trayvon Walker can do at 290. Not only that, he's got a little bit of Jim Thorpe to him as well, or maybe the decathlon to him as well, because look what he does. He's also a state finalist. He throws the shot at a state finalist level in the Georgia High School Athletic Association. So he's already in the one percentile, the number one percentile of all high school athletes in football, basketball, and track. He's won multiple state championships. The other thing with Trayvon is you're looking at a big man there who's probably for his high school career averaged somewhere around 11 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, and 2 blocks per game. And that's your defensive tackle. And that's why I think NFL pro scouts will look at that, the total package of athleticism, especially after 3 years in Sinclair's kind of kitchen, getting cooked up and getting his right with his body and his weight redistributed and his explosion. I think Trayvon Walker has a very bright future.
Now, the good thing for Georgia fans, the debate about which is the more exciting prospect in the future, Walker or Smith, probably doesn't matter all that much because Georgia's lucky enough to have them both. But there is something right now about Trayvon Walker as he continues to make a name for himself athletically, even away from the football field, that I think does make him a really, really special player to think about what his future might be at the University of Georgia. Good stuff from Jeff Centel on yesterday's edition of Before the Hedges. And it's a great way to kind of wrap up around the doghouse here today, presented by Online Trading Academy. And by now, you know what Online Trading Academy does. They provide professional instruction on how you can make money in the markets. Students learn a step-by-step process, trading and investing, that covers a spectrum of trading styles and asset classes, both in the classroom and online. So make the best possible decision you can make by making the decision to invest in yourself today. Simply check out tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. The website, once again, is tradingacademy.com/Atlanta, and you'll be glad you did. All right, later on today on Dog Nation Daily, I'm going to talk more about how you can win one of our really cool Dog Nation Daily Road to Atlanta t-shirts. But for now, with more on the NFL Combine and everything happening around UGA, let's talk to a great former Georgia player and a terrific NFL name as well. It's our buddy, the former tight end, Randy McMichael.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Randy McMichael getting honored as a Dog Nation insider. That's quite an accolade for Randy there on that. It's been a while since we've had Randy on the program, and it's good to have you back with us, Randy. Thanks for spending some time with us. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, no problem, B.A., man. I'm doing good, man. Just sitting here about to get a little workout in. How about yourself?
Doing well. Not getting a workout in, although I think most of our audience would suggest that I probably need one. But that's why you look the way that you look, and I guess I look the way that I look. But nonetheless, we will soldier on nonetheless. And speaking of workouts, you know, this week is one of those times where a lot of guys are about to do and go through a thing that you yourself went through in your NFL career, that combine where you had to go out and make a name for yourself. How nervous were you? How nervous do you expect these UGA guys to be this week? And, you know, what is it like being in Indianapolis where all this goes on?
Well, for me, I wasn't really that nervous, man. I mean, because I looked at it as a situation where I just don't prove yourself. You know, I didn't have the best combine that I wanted, but I had no regrets about it. But it is a nerve-wracking experience because, I mean, it's cliche. It is the biggest job interview that most of these young men have ever been through. So you want to impress so much. And what the NFL does is that they try to work you mentally more than the physical part of it. They want to see how you are in these interviews. They want to see if, you know what, if you ask the same question over and over again, will you get the same answer or will you change your answer? So it can have its nerves to it, but you go up there because I'm here because I'm good at football. All right, I know how to run a 40. I know how to do all these drills. But their biggest thing is how do you talk to these people? Because that's when they fall in love with a player.
So the other part of this, too, that I've always been kind of fascinated with, and I obviously have no idea what this is like, but up to that point in your athletic career, you had been kind of competing for the love of the game. Even if you had NFL on your mind, it was still, you know, amateur athlete versus amateur athlete. But the high-stakes nature of the combine, when you run, when you lift, when you do those things, even, as you said, when you interview, you, all of a sudden now you're doing this for money, and doing better gets you more money. Doing not so good may cost you some money. Did that not change the butterflies in your stomach part of this at all, knowing now you really were out there just competing for the dollars?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Well, again, I was so green, ABA, I just wanted to just go play football. I didn't really know the significance of a bad combine workout. You always went by what the scouts would say before you came into the combine, or some people would read those publications of, well, you know what, Mel Kiper has to be slotted in the second round, so that's obviously where I'm going to go. And sometimes people get caught up in that. But yeah, you're talking about a half a second or a half an inch might cost you $1 million. So, yes, that's in the back of your mind, but you can't let that be your focus while you're up there. You just got to go out there and do what you've done your whole life, and that's just compete. And I think a lot of guys get to a point where they're so worried about the 40-yard dash. They're so worried about the three-cone shuttle. They're so worried about these things that sometimes you don't get your best performance because you're sitting there worried, okay, he just jumped a 10-8 in a broad jump. I got to beat that or else he's going to be drafted for me. You can't look at it like that. You got to go out and compete.
What would you say it's going to be like the next couple of days for Isaac Nata, a guy that knows your position? You obviously know Nata. You've watched him closely. It's been a hot debate, and you've weighed in on it about how Georgia has or hasn't used the tight ends, Nata included. I get the sense, based on some of the stuff that I'm seeing online, that the NFL scouts are going to kind of like this young man, and he has a chance to actually be a pretty good draft pick. What's your outlook for Nada as his NFL career kind of gets ready to officially begin?
Well, I saw my man Charles Robinson. He's tweeting out the height and weight. I saw Isaac was at 6'3 and 244, which is a good size for today's NFL because he's not asked to block in line anymore, but he can do it. He did a lot of it at the at Georgia. And I expect him to be somewhere third, fourth round possibly. He's a guy that can play special teams, a big, fast athlete, but I think he can develop into a starting tight end. But, again, one thing I know about Isaac from being around him and watching him play, this kid loves to compete. And so I look for him to go out and have a good time and a good day up in Indianapolis.
Let me follow up on Nada real quick on just one thing. One of the things we've kind of chatted about with our audience the last couple of days is – you know, even though some Georgia fans would say Nada didn't get used enough at Georgia, he actually ended up having a pretty productive statistical year this past season. When you look at Charlie Werner, who's probably next in line to be kind of the next Isaac Nada at Georgia, how easy is that, or maybe easy is the wrong word, but what do you think the transition is going to be like as Werner kind of goes from being the second tight end on this list to all of a sudden now being the guy called upon to do a lot of the things that Nada did a year ago? What do you expect that transition to be like for Charlie Werner?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, they rotated so much. And Charlie did get some playing time, even though Isaac was listed as a starter. But one thing that I learned as a young player, I learned this from Larry Brown, who played tight end before. Yeah, everybody wants to be the one until it's time for you to be the one. And that's the one thing about losing Isaac is that Charlie's going to have to play a much bigger role. And is he ready for it? Because it's always easy to say, well, I should be the starter. I want to be the starter. But when you get that opportunity, what are you going to do with it? I expect him to play well. And I think that, you know, yeah, I look at it as I saw the gift that Isaac Nada has, and I thought you can use it a lot more. And I think a lot of other people are like, well, he's a five-star, so why are we getting the ball? I just saw his ability when he had the ball in his hands, and I always thought that he could do more.
As far as some of those other juniors that are going to the NFL for Georgia, it seems like the projections are kind of all over the place. Riley Ridley is a wide receiver. Mecole Hardman is both a receiver and a kick returner. Even Elijah Holyfield, it seems like some have a really favorable opinion of him, and maybe others maybe not quite so much. Have you been able to formulate much of an opinion on how you think that the other juniors, Hardman and Ridley and Holyfield, how much of a home they may be able to find in their rookie seasons in the NFL?
Well, I think Mecole Hardman will be the start kick returner for whatever team he's on day one. I think it's just his explosive ability, and then you can work with him as a receiver. That's why I wish he would stay, because I think he needs more polishing as a wide receiver. But he's going to be the day one starter as a kick returner for whatever team he's on. When I look at Elijah, I think Elijah's going to help an NFL team and eventually become a starter. Now, you know, me working here at Sports Radio 99 The Game, we're trying to do these mock drafts. And they need a running back. And I'm like, why not draft Elijah? I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, the myth between, you know, the Falcons drafting Georgia players or whatever. But I think Riley, he's an enigma to it because you see he has all the physical tools. Now, do you blame his production on the fact that they rotate a lot of receivers? Or was he not able to take the threshold as the number one receiver? But teams love his measurables. I could look at him as probably a second-round pick. And DeAndre Baker, we already know he's a stud. We already know where he's a senior, but we know that he's going to be a top, maybe 15-type player. And I think he's going to be a starter from day one.
Yeah, along the lines with DeAndre Baker, and you mentioned, you know, being in Atlanta, working in the radio there at 92.9 The Game, there's also been some buzz of, hey, Falcons also need a defensive back. You know, is there a chance that Baker gets in the mix for that? One way or another, whether Baker goes to Atlanta or somewhere else, this will be another year in a row, just like Roquan Smith was drafted very high by the Bears last year, that a guy like Baker is going to get drafted really high this year. Obviously, that helps Georgia's brand immensely, right? When year after year they're putting – you know, big-time guys near the very top of the first round, those guys are signing big-time signing bonus checks as first-round draft picks, that only helps the brand of Georgia grow, right?
Heck yeah. You watch these Saturday shows just like I do. And what's the majority of these kids say? My next 3 to 4 years. These kids are trying to get to the NFL as fast as possible. And if you see a program pumping out these type of players and also competing for championships, yeah, they want to go, man. And I think that's the greatest thing for Georgia with the hire from Kirby is that he's getting Sunday guys more often. And I'm talking about Sunday guys in the trenches. Because, that, I mean, as much as throwing the ball around and everything is so fancy, football games are won in the trenches. And I think that this is a great thing. And I get a little irritated sometimes when they, you know, they like to put out the page of how much a player is making, but I always believe it's in a man's pocket. But, yeah, it is an amazing accomplishment. You have back-to-back first-round draft picks.
Hey, let me do one more thing before we let you go here. And I also want to find out how folks can hear in the radio in Atlanta as well. But as far as the team coming back for 2019, I mean, the big difference in this offseason compared to last offseason is that quarterback competition that we paid so much attention to a year ago is gone. Justin Fields is in Columbus now, and this team belongs to Jake Fromm. How do you think that changes the feeling in the locker room going into spring practice, which begins in a couple of weeks, and then the season that'll start at the start of the fall, now knowing that Fromm's not looking over his shoulder, for better or for worse, this is his team. You lose a little depth at the quarterback spot, but you get maximum clarity in terms of who the leader is going to be. How do you think that changes things for the better or just making it different?
Well, the thing about it being, this is just on me, I never thought it was a competition. I always thought Jake Fromm was going to be that guy, and I always thought it was going to be his locker room. I thought Justin Fields was going to help and play more, but I always thought this was Jake Fromm's team. As far as the locker room and everything, you know what's happening now? There's no more angst. There's nothing, a storyline or anything. Justin Fields is gone already. Maybe he's transferred in the summertime, but he's gone. There really isn't that big story other than filling some positions of need or, you know, competition, but there's not that big story. And I think that's going to be bode well for the team.
So for the folks who are in the Atlanta area who just want to check out online, you are on the radio a great bit on 92.9 The Game. Tell us more about that, how we can find you, Randy.
Well, you know, they call me in whenever they feel like calling me in, but I'm always on the weekend. Always on the weekends and everything. And, you know, like, I just act like I know how to talk ball. That's all.
Yeah, listen.
They try to call me a media guy, BA, but I'm just a guy that talks ball. That's it.
That's all you got to be, and that's all people want you to be, and that's why so many Georgia fans still love hearing from you, Randy. We appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to hearing a bunch from you on the radio as well, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you soon as well.
No problem, B.A. You know, anything for you, my man.
Really good stuff there from Randy McMichael, the great former Georgia tight end who's really outspoken, and he says he likes talking ball. He's just a sharp guy, right? And you love the idea of these former players who still stay really plugged in, both to the NFL level. And y'all go look on that Wikipedia page, man, or one of these NFL sites. Randy played in this league for a long time, and you learn a lot about the sport when you have as many days on that gridiron as he had, and he's good enough to keep sharing that. And I love the idea for a guy like Randy, you know, been in San Diego, been in Miami, you know, could kind of, you know, go back and live anywhere. He stays in the state because he's still got great affection for the University of Georgia, and you really like that. And what he says about Fromm there at the end in that discussion, I think is also, you know, really interesting. That for him, this was always going to be Jake Fromm's team anyway. But now, with Fromm as the sole quarterback, you get that additional clarity for the rest of the folks in that locker room. And I do think that's potentially important, especially when you hear some of the things that the former Georgia guys have kind of said on their way out the door. You wonder, did that full level of clarity exist for this team a year ago? For better or for worse, because obviously Justin Fields is an incredible talent, and not having him, subtracting him from the 2019 roster, does make Georgia worse because the quarterback depth is not what it was before. I won't pretend otherwise on that, but in terms of Fromm not having to look over his shoulder, in terms of everyone knowing where to look, in terms of the true leader, and I think that Jake Fromm gets a chance to be that. Mike Griffith talked about that a little bit yesterday. I think that's a big step forward for what Georgia can do offensively. There were also a couple other things that Randy said there that I thought were worth making sure that we took a minute to point out. I love his phrase, Sunday guys, and he's right. You know, every one of these commitment ceremonies that we broadcast here on our Dog Nation video channels, they're all the same. The guys say, I'm going to spend the next 3 to 4 years of my life at blah, blah, blah. Oftentimes, that is the University of Georgia. These guys do know they have a clock that starts the moment they sign. And in 3 years, their plan is to be on their way to the NFL, getting a chance to do what DeAndre Baker is going to do this year, what Roquan Smith did as a junior last year, and they get a chance to do that too. And if you're Georgia, having that pipeline, that cycle of these quote-unquote Sunday guys that Randy McMichael talks about, I do think that's a great brand for the program, and it does lead to the kind of success on the field that Georgia fans want to see. If you are not putting guys into the NFL combine and into the NFL draft and into the really high rounds of the NFL draft, then as a coaching staff, I do think you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, are we doing enough for our players? Not only are we doing right by our fans and the university that's paying us a lot of money to go out and win football games, but are we doing right by our players? Are we investing in them so that they can go make a bunch of money and one day reinvest in the University of Georgia with some of those NFL riches? Are we doing enough by them, by the way we're preparing them for the NFL? And really, over the course of the next couple of years, I mean, expect to see a lot of NFL linemen drafted very high. Andrew Thomas could be the next one of those in 2020. Defensive linemen are going to be a big part of this conversation. It's already been linebackers. It'll be cornerback this year. Another couple of wide receivers, maybe as many as three former Georgia wide receivers joining the ranks of the NFL this offseason. Georgia can, you know, slowly and surely start to say that they are checking all those boxes when it comes to NFL success. It'll always be, to a certain extent, thought of as running back university, but not at the expense of any other position group, as they all start to be well represented in the NFL. But then in the immediate short term, that does leave one more, a little bit of a, I guess, challenging issue where, you know, fans can find a way to spin anything towards the negative. If you see Mecole Hardman drafted, I mean, I want to say Randy said he thought he could be drafted as high as the second round. I mean, a lot of these guys, Riley really has a chance to sneak into a pretty high draft pick. Nauta will have a chance to do that, depending on what you hear about Elijah Holyfield, maybe him as well. But in particular with the pass catchers, you know, Ridley and Hardman and Nauta, there's always going to be this thing of, were they used enough at the University of Georgia? And the honest truth is, it's hard to say. I mean, the Georgia offense was certainly plenty productive this past year, but those deep throws down the field, those big moments of airing it out, that would still seem to be the missing piece for Georgia in a national championship. And so, you know, those questions are going to linger. But the better overall bottom line is that it would certainly appear that Georgia is going to be very much involved in the NFL draft conversation this spring. And that itself becomes a great commercial for future recruits signing up and joining the program. And that pipeline just regenerating itself every single year will certainly expect to lead to a lot of winning on the field on College Football Saturdays. And for Georgia fans, that is definitely good news.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Fruit.
Really always very fun to have Randy McMichael on Dog Nation Daily. I really enjoy that, and good stuff from him today. By the way, as we start our SEC through here, let me remind you about our friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia, who equips your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. And there's a lot to like about Pella. You know, they're a national company, so you get a lot of strength from that. They also have a locally owned branch right here in Georgia, so you get that individualized service, which is really important when stuff like this is going on. Listen, there's nothing that's going to make your house better, both in terms of the aesthetic appeal and just kind of saving money in your heating and cooling bills, than making sure you've got the best possible windows, the best possible doors. And with Pella Window and Door of Georgia, not only do they offer a great product, but they also offer a terrific price right now and a great offer. You can currently get up to 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. This offer is valid through March 28th, so you're going to want to take advantage of this pretty quickly to make sure you get in on this deal from Pella Window and Door of Georgia. A couple different ways to get in touch: online at PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or you can give them a call in the Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. The number once again, 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia. They are viewed to be the best. All right, we were talking about how Georgia is going to be very active at the Combine, very active in the NFL draft. Great commercial for the future of the program. A school in the SEC that is decidedly the opposite on that is apparently the University of Tennessee. Andrew Siciliano, who covers the NFL, tweeted this out. I wanted to show this to you on the screen for those of you watching on video. Siciliano writes that there are seven Power 5 schools that don't have a single player at the NFL scouting combine. One of those is Arizona. Another one of those is California. Another one is Oregon State. Listen, you'd expect that from these Pac-12 schools. Illinois not represented, despite the fact they have a former NFL coach and Lovie Smith as head coach. Purdue not represented. Georgia Tech not represented. Great job by Paul Johnson with his recruiting efforts over the last few years. I guess that'd explain why Jeff Collins is now the head coach there. But also on the list is Tennessee. Tennessee does not have a single player at the NFL scouting combine. Now, I don't follow the combine that closely, so this was news to me. I was surprised to hear this. And obviously, I guess it makes, you know, a certain bit of sense, because I think most of the schools you're going to see on there, Arizona and Georgia Tech and Tennessee, they're all going to have fired coaches recently. Otherwise, if they were putting a lot of guys in the NFL scouting combine, the previous coach probably wouldn't have gotten fired. But even with that, the transition from Butch Jones to Jeremy Pruitt, there's no excuse for not having a single person in the NFL scouting combine. That is a pretty significant and stark indictment of your program. And I think that speaks to just how far of a climb, how long of a journey it may be for Jeremy Pruitt to kind of return Tennessee back to relevance. He's obviously doing a good job in recruiting, and I won't dispute that. But I think when you look at the overall bigger picture of that 85-man roster, there are apparently a lot of holes on that thing, and it's going to take Jeremy Pruitt a while to get that thing turned around. That is not the kind of thing that you broadcast and brag about if you're Tennessee. Hey, we had nobody at the NFL scouting combine. That is, ooh, that's a little rough. Another SEC story that I want to get to for SEC through, and this is one of those things that I feel weirdly strong about, although it probably doesn't matter all that much. We have been in a trend in the SEC in particular, but across college football for the most part over the last few years, where coaches don't name starting quarterbacks. This is not like a media thing of, hey, you owe it to us to tell who your starting quarterback is. For the most part, they don't name them because they want the competition to be ongoing. They think it's there's some value in that. And part of this is obviously it keeps guys from transferring from the program. I won't be naive about that. But this is also the thing of, and Kirby Smart is one of the big believers in this, I believe, that when there is the potential of a legitimate competition, that you make all the guys in that competition better by holding it out as long as you can and making them believe they're all in it. So you'll end spring practice, no starting quarterback being named. You'll go through summer practice. Oftentimes before the week one of the season, you still haven't named a starting quarterback. And there's obviously some merit to that strategy, I'm guessing. But I'm also a big believer that there is another strategy that can be effective as well. Sometimes I think it's valuable for teams to say, we need to rally around a guy, and therefore we're going to name a starting quarterback. And we're not going to go through the motions of pretending there's a competition. We need to establish a leader. We need to establish a focal point for our team, and therefore we're naming a starting quarterback. Well, Barry Odom, the Missouri coach, did that this week. He named Kelly Bryant, the former Clemson quarterback, the transfer, his starting quarterback. And I think this is actually a pretty smart thing for Barry Odom to do. Now, you may think, well, it's a foregone conclusion that Bryant will be the quarterback, so why not name him? There are plenty of other foregone conclusions that get ignored by coaches in the name of fostering a pretend, phony, fake competition. So Odom doing this still makes him a bit of an outlier. I mean, there are also some other talented quarterbacks in this Missouri roster. Lindsey Scott, the former LSU transfer, he's here. So this is not a quarterback position without talent, but they name Bryant the starter nonetheless, and I think this is good. You know, Bryant's already said he's not transferring in the wake of the NCAA sanctions that Missouri's dealing with, and I think that Odom here is doing something smart by saying, we're not going to pretend there's a competition when there's actually not. We have a quarterback who's head and shoulders better than the rest. Look to him as your leader. Look to him as the nucleus of our team. And I think that more coaches actually should follow in behind what Barry Odom's doing. A couple of other quick points to get to here, and I'll do this kind of fast because I want to do our T-shirt giveaway. Will Muschamp had some really significant words of praise for Zach Pickens, the five-star signing at defensive line that the Gamecocks just brought in. I'll have to say that this past offseason, I thought that South Carolina was a program kind of on the rise. The on-field results this season seem to belie that, suggesting that they're kind of a middling, floundering program, and that maybe they're going to get lost in the shuffle of a re-energized SEC East. The presence of Pickens could change a lot of that kind of stuff. You've got to have those elite top-end guys performing the way that their recruiting profile suggests they're supposed to. So if Muschamp turns out to be right about Pickens, that could change the fortunes a little bit for the Gamecocks. I saw where Mike Johnson made some headlines, our buddy, the former Alabama All-American and frequent guest here on Dog Nation Daily, because he's now the Birmingham Iron. That's the Alliance of American Football team based in Alabama. He's their color analyst on the radio, and he goes on a Alabama radio show yesterday and says he thought the University of Alabama could beat the AAF team by a few touchdowns, I think he said. This is not controversial, right? I mean, Georgia could beat the Atlanta team by multiple touchdowns. The top-end SEC teams are going to beat these AAF teams. It's not like saying the same thing about the Buffalo Bills. I saw where Mikey got some attention for that, but I don't think it's that controversial of a statement. And it's kind of cool to see Mike making headlines. I miss Mike. It's kind of fun to see him out there in the news. One more story to get to, and this is not necessarily SEC-related, but it's probably worth mentioning. Wisconsin quarterback Alex Hornibrook, who I believe had been a 3-year starter for the Badgers, had dealt with some injuries, a couple of different injuries this past year, has put his name in the transfer portal. And there was a different quarterback that ended up starting the bowl game. They brought in a pretty good-looking freshman quarterback this season. But, I mean, the seeming incumbent entrenched starter was Hornibrook, and it's kind of funny. It gives you an idea of where these quarterbacks kind of think about the nature of their competitions right now, because – you know, he may be the favorite to reemerge there as the quarterback, but it's not a sure thing. And so, therefore, it seems like he's going to put himself in the open market to find a more sure thing than he has in Wisconsin. That we're kind of in a new age when it comes to stuff like this. And for a guy like that who's played a lot of football, I would imagine he's going to have a lot of potential suitors. I have no idea where he'd want to go. I don't know if there's an SEC team at this late stage who would consider bringing him in. But this one may be worth watching as Hornibrook, who's played a lot of football for the Badgers, is now on the open market. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, I said yesterday that, you know, in honor of the ongoing conversation that's out there, Georgia and Alabama getting back together, we hope, in December in the SEC championship game, that we're going to do our part to kind of stoke the flames that over the course of this offseason. And, you know, we talked a lot about the road to Atlanta. And for 2019, the road to Atlanta can really mean a couple different things. It can mean getting back for the SEC championship again. It can be getting to the Peach Bowl for the national semifinal, the home field advantage there. It can mean a lot of different things. For us, though, it's just a symbolic gesture of saying that Dog Nation is united on this as Georgia refocuses its attention on finally taking down the Alabama Crimson Tide. We think 2019 is a year that can indeed happen. And so we're going to do a fun T-shirt giveaway as a way of making all that go down. Now, I will also say there's some business stuff we have to take care of. I've been challenged with doing a couple different things in 2019. One of those is growing our YouTube subscriber base. So we're going to try to make this fun as we do this. Let me lay this out, and let's see if this is not too convoluted. I have a email address I want to give you. If you're watching a video, we'll put this on the screen. If you're listening, I'll give it to you right now. It's DND, that stands for Dog Nation Daily, dndtshirts@gmail.com. I'm going to say this a lot, but go ahead and write this down so you can remember it. dndtshirts@gmail.com. No dash in between the T and the shirt, just dndtshirts@gmail.com. Do y'all think this is too convoluted? If I say send an email to that email address with a picture showing that you have subscribed to Dog Nation's YouTube page, will this work? Is this too convoluted? Can we make this happen? Connor, you think this is good? All right, Connor seems to think this is good. He's young, cool, and hip. So if he thinks this is going to work, Michael thinks it's going to work. So do this. Send the email, dndtshirts@gmail.com. Show a picture of you having subscribed to the Dog Nation YouTube page. I'm going to take every person that sends one, write the names down, put them in a hat. I'll draw out a winner, and tomorrow I'll announce our first Road to Atlanta T-shirt giveaway. So that seems simple enough. Let's see how that works. All right, as we wrap up today, let me do a couple of quick things. First of all, Diamond Dogs got upset two nights ago to Long Island, Brooklyn. They lost like 1-0. They did get back to winning ways last night. In-state rival Kennesaw State, I think 11-1 the final was there. The Diamond Dogs got that win. For the most part, their season's not going to be told by what happens during the week. It's more of a weekend thing and how they perform against SEC competition coming up in a couple of weeks. But they did avenge their first loss of the season with a win against the Owls last night. Not as good news, though, for the men's basketball team. A loser last night to Auburn, although great work by Dog fans this year filling that Stegman Coliseum. Lots been made of the attendance success for Tom Crean in his first year. Kind of cool to see the Stegman Coliseum full once again, so good stuff there on that. By the way, around here, we are Gator haters. We don't like those lousy, stinking Gators. We're proud to say, as part of our Gator Hater Updater, it's been 852 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll keep counting that number, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.